This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Russell Wilson's Let's Ride lacking a little ride. And Justin Herbert's takeover not as smooth as some thought. We'll talk about last night. Also, ball nights. And ball nights. Let's go. That time of year. I mean, that's how you start a season, by the way. A ring ceremony with Draymond Green and Jordan Poole together. Oh, we'll get to that, man. But I want to start with last night's football game because there's this thing you say when no one plays defense anymore. You're like, oh, where's the defense? Well, last night there was defense and flags. But defense, were you entertained? Chargers 19, Broncos 16. Chargers have some explaining to do with how just barely they are sometimes. Needed a muff punt to stave off a tie. But we start with Russell Wilson and how it looked to you. After the offseason, after the quarter of $1 billion, after everything Denver did to arrive at a team with Russell Wilson as quarterback, Tim, how big is the Russell Wilson problem in Denver right now?
Well, I think it's pretty monstrous. I mean, you give up two ones, two twos, a sack full of players for a guy that's supposed to take this team to the playoffs, and he has good receivers out there, and he's not finding them, and he just looks – it seems like Denver plays in every night game, whether it's Thursday, Monday. They're always in prime time, and he looks disconnected from the team. His conversations with Hackett don't look particularly good. It's the decisions. You know, it'll be third and five, and he knows he can get loose and run for a first down. We're not seeing him make those decisions. They had some horrible three and outs near the end of the game and in overtime, and they didn't compete in a game where he started out 10 for 10, and all that just went away. He was 5 for 18 after that, and I think it's an
enormous
problem.
You think it's an enormous problem. Real quick on a follow-up, is it a fixable problem?
It should be, because although I think he was a declining player last year, he wasn't in tatters. He's not that old compared to others. There ought to be a way to get on the same page with Jerry Jeudy. But they look like they're miles apart.
Even Dennis Jr., you're shaking your head.
Yeah, I mean, not only were those last three possessions bad, the last three possessions of the game for the Broncos were run, incompletion, run, incompletion, run, incompletion. They were all punts. This offense is a disaster. Russell Wilson had 15 yards in the second half in overtime, which sounds like a typo. 15 total. And they are blowing a defense that could take them to this is Super Bowl level defense. They're second in DVOA, which, Tony, as we all know, is defense adjusted value over average. And they are, you know, good enough to do this. And since I have been cursed with being on this show after having to watch a Broncos late night game, we have to mention what I've mentioned since the first week. Nathaniel Hackett is not an NFL coach. 151 yards in penalties is the most since 2000. He's not an NFL coach.
George Sedano.
Tony, it's two-pronged. We'll start with Nathaniel Hackett. He clearly is still overmatched. Let's not forget, even though he was the offensive coordinator in Green Bay, he wasn't calling plays. That was Matt LaFleur's job to call plays for Aaron Rodgers. And when he was hired at Denver, they thought they were going to trade for Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson was kind of the second prize in that situation. Now, let's get to Russ. Russ wanted the Russ show. He didn't want to be associated with Pete Carroll holding him back or whatever it was he felt in that particular locker room. And now he's got it. And the problem is he's being allowed to have way too much freedom with what he does offensively. And we're starting to see some of the holes in his game that maybe were masked by Seattle. And to Tim's point about the camaraderie with the receivers, look at KJ Hamler's reaction after they lost to the Colts. He slammed his helmet to the ground. Jerry Jeudy bickering on the sidelines. He is not connected. And I think a lot of it is because this is Russ trying to put on the Russ show.
Kevin Blackstone.
But he should be trying to put on the Rush show because that's how he came into our psyche, right? I mean, he wanted North Carolina State. Then he goes to Wisconsin. He wins there. Then he goes to Seattle. Next thing you know, he's putting up numbers and he's winning a Super Bowl. And so I assume, and I'm sure Denver assumed, that you get this guy, you plug him in, and he's good to go, and this team is good to go. I am shocked that Russell Wilson looks as bad as he does so far in Denver. I thought that this was going to be an easy fit for him. And to Tim's point, I mean, it looks almost as if they're not even practicing together. I mean, the guys are running routes that he's not finding. He's not making the exciting plays that he used to make, the money plays that he used to make in Seattle, and he is not that old.
Could it be fixable, though? I mean, there's a hamstring injury now. There's a back injury.
The shoulder, whatever.
Statistically, this is a wow. Tim Kalishaw, you said this before we sat down about separation with receivers.
Through five games, he and Justin Fields had the two best separations on their receivers. You wouldn't know it from their statistics because they can't find any of their receivers. But, you know, that's staggering.
That's an alarming thing going away from the idea, but this is fixable. One more story from last night's game. The Chargers, they're just getting by. The record looks good. The on paper looks good. 57 passes for Justin Herbert last night, the most ever without throwing for a touchdown in a game. So how does it all look to you, George Sedano?
It doesn't look great, but I will give them credit for being resilient. Clearly, Justin Herbert is hurt. You don't just come back from a rib injury and play through it and not look and look exactly like you were supposed to look beforehand. They've also been decimated by injuries. They lost their left tackle. They've lost cornerbacks. They've lost defensive players, including Bosa, right? One of the best players in the league. Despite all that, they still find themselves with a winning record in this situation.
Tim Kalishaw?
They have a good record. They don't do it impressively. Austin Eckler was pretty much shut down, and Herbert threw for less than 5 yards per attempt. Mike Williams got completely shut down by Surtain. They got a lot of work to do to stay in the running.
Looking for all signs. Are they the same old Chargers or not? Are they going to Charger? Still no answer. We move on. Bowl nights. Sixers, Celtics starting the season. Two teams with high expectations and big questions. Philly after how the year ended. Boston how the offseason played. Ball night! I'm not sensing the urgency from this panel. Ball night!
Ball night!
There we go. I expect expectations, and I expect them now, George. Go!
My expectations for the Celtics is to remain one of the teams that can win the Eastern Conference. I do have questions as to how their new interim head coach will navigate the situation. But to me, the story here is Philly, Tony. Joel Embiid is in his prime. James Harden is in the best shape we've seen in a long time. He sacrificed money. They brought in a ton of role players. There are no more excuses for Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey with this Philly team.
Statistically, in the end of last season, and no one wants to put stats on the preseason, but fine, usage rate for James Harden way down. Is that something, the trajectory for the regular season you see as well?
Yeah, I think so. I think that Doc Rivers sees him as an excellent ball handler and a point guard type where they'll let Joel Embiid cook and the offense has to run through.
Kevin Blackstone, expectations tonight, Philly, Boston.
Well, I expect the Celtics to struggle. I mean, they've got a new coach, and we all just praised Udoka for everything that he did. And they've got some new faces. So all the pressure is on them. And I think for the 76ers, they've got to look at that and say, this is not a game that we should lose. We should be ahead of these guys for this season right now and not look back.
And that's the preview for tonight. David Dennis Jr., let's talk full season here on how close Philly was last year but couldn't close it and how the Celtics got exactly where they wanted to be but now had the offseason.
Yeah, I think 2 months ago I would have said Celtics Bucks were sort of a tier of their own in the Eastern Conference with all the turmoil in Boston. Because remember, before Udoka, you know, was suspended, they were talking about trading Jaylen Brown, and there was a whole bunch of mess with that. So I think the window is open for Philadelphia to sneak in there, but that is all about what James Harden can do. 121 points per 100 possessions last season, that small sample size. If he can replicate that in the regular season and have the number one pick and roll with Joel Embiid, they can sneak into that top echelon.
I like the way you said that, David. The window here. Speaking of windows, I go to Kalishaw for my windows. Whose window is got a little bit more space going into this season, Philly or Boston?
Well, let me clean up some of these windows for my esteemed colleagues here. The Celtics aren't in trouble in any way. The Celtics went 11 years between NBA finals. They didn't win it all last year, but they won the East. And that's a big deal for a team that we talked about every week. What's wrong with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? Why can't they get along? What's the deal with Marcus Smart? They're past that now. I don't think the coaching change will make that big a difference. The assistant that's taken over, it's going to be the same system. And now there are guys who are successful, and they're all young. So I still think Boston is the team to beat.
Other game tonight, Lakers, Warriors, ring night. Let me hear it. It's
ring night.
Thank you.
Ring night.
Yeah. The ring ceremony night. With Green and Poole. That's how you start a season. But also telling Russell Westbrook he's coming off the bench, that's how you start a movie. I don't know what the origin story for a villain or for a new hero. Who knows? David, what to watch for tonight with L.A. and Golden State?
I mean, I think people are sort of expecting these, like, fireworks between Draymond and Jordan Poole. I think they'll be fine. They're adults. What I'm looking for from the Warriors is that young core. I'm looking for at James Wiseman. I'm looking at Moody. I'm looking at Kuminga, because as much as the Warriors have championship circled on that whiteboard, they also have $500 million circled on there, what they're trying not to reach. And if those young players can get some real minutes and be effective, I think that can be a difference for the Warriors going forward.
James Wiseman and Kuminga is what we're excited about tonight. This is the ring ceremony. This is Draymond and Poole for the first time, Blackstone. Are you watching for a Wiseman and a Kuminga and a Moody?
Well, I mean, I think we already got a throwdown, right? Somebody said they're going to ruin the ring ceremony. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? So I want to see if that holds true. And I'm not sure that that can be done. I am interested in how all those young guys play, because I think that'll suggest how valuable or invaluable, Draymond Green is to that team going forward. Because it would seem to suggest that if these young guys are coming along, then if Draymond messes up anymore, he could be the guy out the door.
George Sedano, you heard Anthony Davis, as Kevin just alluded to, say we're gonna blow up the ring ceremony. That's with a win tonight. Do the Lakers have anything for the Warriors?
I think that there's been a history of teams on their ring night not necessarily performing up to snuff. So I think that he's alluding to that. Plus, he's the key to their season. If Anthony Davis plays like the top 5 or 10 player he's capable of being,
instead
of just being a top 5
here
or 10 talent.
Here we go, Lakers talk.
No, here we go, nothing. They can be a playoff team instead of a play-in team. Because, Tony, I have them currently as a play-in team at this point. And the Russell Westbrook situation is just, you know, we'll see how that unfolds. But with the Warriors, I'm not worried about Draymond and Poole at all. I was at their preseason game on Friday. They seemed totally fine.
Okay. He was at the preseason game. Man, Tim Kalish, how about you?
Here we go, nothing, starring George Sedano. I look forward to that spinoff. No, here's the thing with the Warriors. They can't ignore the punch. Steve Kerr called it a crisis. We've all seen the video. I don't care if they paid Jordan Poole. In the back of his mind, he knows they didn't suspend this guy. They didn't do anything when he basically knocked me out. There's going to be a hangover from that, whether it's
Have you seen the rings? We're going to get a look at the rings tonight. You're just lucky the punch came before the ring was on. Those things can do some damage. Taking a break here. Buy or sell on the other side.
Around the Horn is presented by the refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase.
A league championship series you never thought you'd be seeing. I had panelists yesterday, though, saying this is bad for baseball. What? Look at Philly. Look at San Diego in these highlights. Is this not fun? Are these playoffs too exciting for you? Too dramatic? I don't understand the want to get exactly what the season already gave us. Sometimes something surprising happens. We don't want to live in a simulation, people. Let's go. Tonight, San Diego hosting Philly. Expectations for this series. What you buying, George?
I'm buying that San Diego may be the team to beat. AJ Preller had an open checkbook. He brought in Juan Soto, who finally now during the postseason is starting to play like they expected him to. And I think they have the pitching advantage, particularly with their starting pitching. Bob Melvin not afraid to go deep with his starters, and I think that could be the difference.
Tim Kalishaw.
They might be the team to beat, but the Phillies are the team to beat them. I like the Phillies starters.
Ooh, I like
Nola them. And Wheeler better than those Padres aces. And you don't have to worry about Josh Hader if you get a lead. And Bryce Harper, the hottest hitter in baseball, is going to get him the lead.
You get him a lead. Now, do you have the bullpen to close out? Have you seen a Philly game this year? David Dennis Jr.
I'm gonna go with George here. I think that these teams are like extremely close, razor thin edge to the Padres because of that bullpen. Hader, Garcia, Suarez, no earned runs through the postseason. The seven relief pitchers, 0.73 ERA. I think we're going to be in for a long, exciting series, but I think the Padres are going to eke this out.
You're rocking that brown and yellow for San Diego today. Kevin Blackenstone, how about you?
You know, I like the Padres pitching. I think they had some shutout wins against the Phillies this year. Darvish is on it. And the other thing is the top half of that lineup really is just now warming up. They've been winning with the bottom third of that lineup. So when Soto and Bell, two more Nats, get going, they might beat Harper and Schwarber.
All right. Buy or sell to Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur doing what they do best.
Based on how we've played the last 2 weeks, I think it's going to be in our best interest to simplify things.
Are you surprised to hear how much Aaron wants to simplify the offense yesterday?
I don't know what that means.
Tim, buy or sell Matt LaFleur, not knowing what Aaron Rodgers means.
I'm going to buy Matt LaFleur because I'm not even sure Aaron Rodgers knows what he means. I think he means I want to simplify things. I want to have a Davante Adams out there who I know exactly where he's going on every route and at every moment, and we don't have that.
David Dennis Jr.?
Yeah, I'm buying LaFleur not knowing exactly what he means. If you listen to Aaron Rodgers on any podcast, there's not a lot of people who know exactly what he means on a given time.
Okay.
What I'm selling is Aaron Rodgers saying that he needed to improve just a tick later in that press conference. He needs to improve a lot. He was 0-for-6 on deep passes. They had 12 points in the last six quarters. He needs to be better, too.
So offensive malfunction the last six quarters and really this whole season, Kevin Blackenstone. Buy or sell the two here.
Yeah, I'm going to sell LaFleur because at least Aaron Rodgers had an answer and a solution to whatever ails them. And the OC is standing there like, I don't know what's going on here. You better know what's going on. You don't have much time.
Madonna.
Tony, I think that Aaron just doesn't want to run his receivers under the bus because they are pretty simple and basic from a West Coast offense perspective. They're throwing dinks and dunks. And look, everyone knows the histrionics of Aaron Rodgers, particularly early in the season, the rolling of the eyes and all that stuff. I think he's just trying to be a good teammate, and I don't think Matt LaFleur helped him in any way, shape, or form.
First time they've lost back-to-back games, LaFleur and Rodgers, but it was two New York teams who don't play in New York. They play in New Jersey. Buy or sell three, the leads. The Baltimore Ravens have blown this year. The leads. You don't get the leads because to give them to you is to throw them away. This week's lost to New York. Here's the two Lamar turnovers in the fourth quarter. For the season, his fourth quarter's numbers fall off a cliff. So the contract talk has stopped. The wins partially stopped. David, when you consider the contract, the turnovers, and the wins, what you buying, what you selling with the Ravens and Lamar?
Yeah, obviously I'm selling these fourth quarter meltdowns. I think Lamar Jackson is looking at this defense that's, you know, one of the worst he's had since he's been in the league, and he's trying to do too much. They've had 15 non-kneel down possessions in the fourth quarter, and they've turned the ball over on seven of them. Lamar Jackson was responsible for five of them. He's just trying to do too much. They need to get, you know, a little bit better so he can just stay in his lane.
Good stats, David. Kevin Blackenstone.
Well, here's a guy who got gradually better each year, which is why he was up for this monster contract. But the way he's handled this game in particular, I won't put the last one on him, but this one in particular was just horrific. I mean, a busted play, you've got to lead, you just got to eat it. You can't try and wing the ball across the field when you don't even have the laces in your fingers. You can't
George
do that.
Donna.
Tony, the last game was definitely on Lamar, but the previous games are the fact that they don't have a consistent running game with J.K. Dobbins, who's been in and out of the lineup. He's been healthy. He's been unhealthy for most of it. You know, Kenyon Drake is in there now, had a good game. But the defense, to David's point, has been pretty bad considering what we normally expect from the Ravens.
But this last loss was about Lamar's two turnovers, right, Tim Kalishaw?
Yeah, I mean, the turnovers, they killed the team, and those were on Lamar. But mostly he has nothing beyond Mark Andrews he can count on as a steady go-to guy. And as has been mentioned, Dobbins is never healthy. The running game is kind of a mess. So he is trying to do too much. That's how they're stuck at 3-3.
First prize, showdown. Second prize, set of steak knives. Third prize, well, Kalishaw, Blackstone. You're done. Sedano, Dennis Jr., always be closing. Showdown.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Around the Horn is presented by the refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
George Sedano, David Dennis Jr., good luck in showdown.
What happens when Power 5 school says, give us a number, we'll make it work?
I'm going to have to entertain it.
You are?
Yes, I'm going to have to entertain it. Straight up. Well, I'd be a fool not to.
Last week, it was whether Deion Sanders was swack or not. 2 years ago, it was whether he could even coach or would buy into coaching. So hearing Deion on 60 Minutes, George, should he jump to Power 5?
Tony, it's only natural to want to compare yourself to the schools that have the type of resources that they would in the Power 5. As much as he's done for the SWAC, it would be a huge loss for them. I could understand humanly why he would want to do it.
Yeah, as somebody who's from Mississippi, I know the HBCU history of great athletes of Jerry Rice, Walter Payton, Steve McNair, and Deion Sanders doing something special in Jackson. I hope he does not entertain this and stays there a little bit longer.
The critique that he's not swag, David, would jumping to the Power 5 then prove that in your mind?
No, I mean, I think he's done a lot, but, you know, I don't know. I think he's done a lot for the swag, and I just hope that he continues that. I don't think he's going to go anytime soon.
Showdown 2, the play of the year so far in hockey. You love game-winning goals? This is a point-saving save. Dylan Larkin from behind, through the legs, saving the empty netter. Red Wings were able to score, so they forced overtime, got a point. Kings won in OT. David, how many points for that point?
Give him all the points that you took away from Bill Plaschke yesterday. We talk about offensive nutmegs all the time. This is a defensive nutmeg. And
111 points is what you want for that? I don't know about that. George Sedano.
Tony, the Red Wings iced the biggest line in NHL history at 6'6", 230. If you're Dylan Larkin at a measly 6'1", you got to do what you can to stay on the ice.
That's your takeaway from that? No. That amazing play went through the legs. How did he not trip him? David, take the face off.
Yesterday was October 17th, special day. It was my dad's 82nd birthday. It's also Kevin Blackstone's birthday. Happy birthday to you. The birthday has taken a very special meaning to me. I've written a book about my dad, The Movement Made Us, and learned about how, you know, close he was to death, and him being alive is so special.
Happy birthday, Dad. Happy birthday, Stone. See you tomorrow.